This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu. Together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, we want to talk about two deaths that will be coming onto the show. So the first one, we want to talk about the death of SMS. That is because there is a new standard for short messaging services, and it's going to be called RCS. And why I say I think SMS will be dying, it's because recently you've got, I guess, you know, the biggest mobile operators in the US have sort of formed and created a joint venture, which is called CCMI, which is the Cross-Carrier Messaging Initiative. And this is to ensure that when they move forward together to replace SMS with the next generation of messaging standard, which will be RCS, they will be able to support one another. Because again, you know, what's the point of having
messaging platforms that don't work with each other, right? I have to say, I really dislike Jeff for choosing this story because I had to do so much research to even understand what this is about. He sent me one link and I ended up having to read like a half dozen more, just like, what?
So RCS, if you don't know, is wickedly complicated on the
back
end.
Yes, it's wickedly complicated.
And also, it's also, you know, one of those where you, it's the goal is to put SMS away so that you have a better messaging platform that hopefully will give the carrier some sort of control back instead of using your OTT messaging apps like your WhatsApps or your Facebook Messenger and so on and so forth, right? So new Android phones within next year will actually probably come with some form of RCS that's embedded with them. It will support all the RCS features like typing indicators so you can see, just like what you would get in your current messaging, is like, you know, this person is typing a message now. You can get higher resolution attachments. You can also get better group chats as well, right? So it will be compatible with the global universal profile standards that, you know, we have for RCS that will be now also hopefully adopted by other carriers in the world.
I mean, to put it in Apple and iPhone language, it's to make everyone else have iMessages.
In a way, yeah, but, or WhatsApp, you know, everyone has WhatsApp, but, you know, WhatsApp is operated by, you know, some company. And,
yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's having this universal standard that's not linked to any particular company, but I still struggle with the story with the idea a little bit because I'm wondering what the relevance of it is. Now, the companies are saying, you know, this is a revenue-raising exercise for them because they can use it for, you know, companies can use their chatbots and, of course, those services are going to be paid for. Because one of the things that services like WhatsApp and iMessage don't do for the carriers is make them any money. So this is a way of, you know, at least clawing back some of that money. But it does come without some of the things that we have come to expect in these apps, which is encryption.
Yes.
Like SMS, these messages can be intercepted. So when you're talking about having the ability to send high-resolution video, high-resolution photos, and, of course, this kind of information that we use that may be a little bit more personal on the messaging apps, I'm not sure that people will want to trust that kind of information to this new platform.
Yeah, definitely. This is telcos trying to regain back control of the messaging that has been used, right? Because how many people use phone calls these days?
And how many people use SMS? You use SMS as a fallback when there's no data connection.
Yeah, but even then, it's mostly, you know, using it as a spam.
I mean, most of the messages we get, but that's what I mean.
Or some emergency notification.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we send each other SMS when we can't send anything else. It is the message of last resort.
Yeah.
And even with this new system, they're saying that when it gets to a point where those messages can't go through on that platform, it will default to SMS anyway.
So
I keep coming back to this. Why? Because it is incredibly complex.
Yeah.
You have to bring all of these carriers together. You have to put all the technologies together. You have to introduce all of these universal standards. Mm. And I keep coming back to why.
Yeah.
And not only has Google been the pioneer in this field, the companies in the US, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile and Sprint, are deliberately locking Google out of what they're developing. So it sounds like there's more duplication going on. So will their standards even be compatible with the ones that Google has been working on and has been working with carriers across the world already to implement? Because for Google, it's not just this interoperability issue. It is about ensuring that Android phones have this ability to communicate amongst themselves the same way that iPhones do automatically with things like iMessage. So it is much more important to them as a developer of the OS. But I can't see why any of us would really be crying out for the money and the investment it will take to create the system.
Especially when you could already do most of the stuff and probably in a more secure manner with better encryption from your currently WhatsApp already has end-to-end encryption.
Yeah,
you can even
Signal
go further than that.
Yeah, yeah,
like
exactly.
Telegram, Signal, they can even have, you know, secret messaging that could be even deleted from the trail itself, right? So RCS is not something revolutionary that will change the way we message. It just seems like this is a way for telcos to sort of claw back some money that's being lost in the way that we communicate. But I don't think that's going to work, like you said, because, you know, we're not crying out for something
because
so many alternatives.
I would rather we have one of those systems like Telegram or Signal or whatever, where those standards become the global norm and the messaging is based around those companies and the telcos all buy into that structure.
Yeah, but
that's what I want to see. But
they don't own Telegram or WhatsApp and stuff, and
well,
they don't like that.
Fact. No, of course not. I mean, WhatsApp, we know we're going to have a problem with. other companies have links to various governments that we don't necessarily want to have links to either. Yeah. But we are crying out for something. And I hate to say it, because I don't think iMessage is a particularly good platform. But at least Apple has that attitude to privacy that you know is going to guarantee your rights rather than data being sold off to some third party.
Mm, let us know if you're actually crying out for some feature on your current messaging platform, because that'll be interesting to see, like, what is it that you're actually really longing for in the plethora of messaging apps that we have in the App Store and Google Play Store. So let us know. When we come back, we'll talk about the death of another item, because of course, you know, we just celebrated Halloween. So it's the death of everything. BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysians. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back, and it is time for King of Culture.
Yes, King of Culture is a bit of a weird one for a tech show. This is a new podcast from the people who make Radiolab. Mm-hmm. So it's presented by Jad Abumrad. I can't say his name. but it's called Dolly Parton's America. And it's a series about the influence that Dolly Parton has had on modern America. Now, there were a lot of things about Dolly Parton that I didn't know. I didn't realize that she actually wrote most of her songs, that she's actually, you know, a major songwriter. But it takes contemporary America and puts it into these weird parallels of Dolly Parton's career. And although she doesn't describe herself as a feminist, in fact, she describes herself quite vocally as not an anti-feminist, but definitely not a feminist, not part of that political movement, you can see her career helping to shape a lot of those movements. She went into this very male-dominated Nashville country world. She fought for her position. She had to push back against some very strong vested interests who just saw her as some little blonde gal. But she's always been very strong, very vocal. She's given her support to a lot of causes. And if you listen to the lyrics in her song, they also reflect what's happening in America at any one time. So the podcast is interesting because it talks not only to Dolly, but also to her fans, but puts it into all of this historical and cultural context as well. Because very often we see Dolly Parton as being this kind of figure of fun. And she kind of promotes that idea herself. But actually underneath, she's, well, not even underneath, I mean, she's a very, very smart woman. She's very focused on the business side, but she's also very focused on the message of what she wants to bring forward to people. So, yeah, if you want to listen to something that is, you know, completely devoid of all the negative stuff that's going on at the moment, have a listen to Radiolab's Dolly Parton's America.
There we go. Interesting. I'll check that out over the weekend. Let's talk about the death of another item earlier on. We talked about the death of SMS with the emergence of RCS. I want to ask, how many people actually here use an iPhone 5? It looks like we have a few people who have raised their hands. So you have to be aware because...
You do know we're on radio, right?
I know. But like apparently, and this is true because Apple have released an announcement that's saying if you do not update before the 3rd of November, so that only leaves you like 2 days, you will have to basically back up and restore everything in your phone because chances are you may not be able to use your iPhone 5 completely, especially the internet itself. So you won't get any sort of updates anymore, and you are not going to be able to get any internet access at all. So you have to actually upgrade to the new version 10.3.4, which is the latest for
I think that's about as far as you can go, with the 5, yeah.
And this is apparently it's because of a GPS time rollover issue that has begun affecting the functionality of various GPS-enabled tech products in April 2019. And I find like, that's fascinating that, when you have some GPS-enabled products, they can just, not work.
Or the fact that because the GPS is hardwired into the device and so many of the apps are dependent on it, once those simple changes in, an international standard happen, then you simply can't use your phone. But it does bring us back to that argument about what is it that you actually own?
Yeah.
Yes, you own the phone, but... just something that happens with a third party here means that the software on your phone, which isn't yours, will no longer work. And it's not like you can go back to Apple and say, hey, Apple, give me a phone that does work. Mm. No, you still own the phone. It doesn't matter if the phone is a really nice black smoky glass paperweight.
Yeah.
The phone that you have relied on will not work anymore. Now, of course, Apple isn't saying, this is gone. I have iPads at home that belong to a certain loved one that will remain nameless, who linked an iCloud account to a work email that she no longer has access to.
Oh no!
So those devices can't be updated. Mm. Those devices are stuck. So there may be people in that same kind of situation where they don't have the ability to upgrade the software anymore. Mm. And it is very sad. They will lose access to the devices they rely on.
Yeah.
And they may not have the funds to upgrade. Certainly, they won't be upgrading to another Apple device.
Yeah. And I think, you make a good point in the sense that, we pay so much for a phone, but yet, in a couple of years or in the iPhone 5, it's, 5 years that, I guess since it was launched or slightly more than that.
More than that,
seven years. 2012. So 7 years since it was launched, it's now, if you don't update, and there are many people who choose not to update simply because maybe some of the apps don't work. Like for my example, my MacBook Pro still run on some 32-bit apps that I can't update to the latest OS simply because
of course, yes.
It will not work with the new OS. So I'm like, I will have to sit down and find time to re-download all the 64-bit version of those apps before I can actually move on. So there's a reason why I'm not updating. Mm. And there are also various reasons why people are not doing the updates on their iPhones or the iPhone 5.
Well,
and
again,
you tend
to
lose everything. Now.
Yeah, we forget that not everyone lives in a place where you can suddenly download 2 gigabytes worth of data. Mm. What about people who are living, off the grid, for example, or, people who don't have access to these connections? Apple is saying, if you go past this date, it's fine. You can back it up to iTunes and do it that way. But if you don't have access to the data at all, to a data connection, then you're not going to be able to do that. So, then suddenly maybe some of the services that you're using on the phone just won't work anymore.
There we go. What do we have for Geek Tunes, Matt?
We have, well, in celebration of both MSP and this episode of phones and other devices not working, we have an early hit from Gary Newman and the Tubeway Army. This is Me, I Disconnect From You.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.